Well, we're now in Revelation 21, and we come to a point where we find out, point number one, what he sees after the great white throne judgment. God will let his people see a new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And that new heaven and new earth is after the great white throne judgment. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So what this means is this occurs after the tribulation, after the millennium, and after the great white throne judgment. John says, then I saw. It's chronological, it's sequential. The fact that John sees this after the great white throne judgment means that John saw people being cast to the lake of fire. Now he sees another place where people go who are not cast into a lake of fire. Two very real eternal destinies. One puts people into the eternal lake of fire, and the other puts one into the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. One of these two destinies is ours. And that new heaven and new earth are new. One is neos. These are the two different adjectives in Greek, which means anew in time, sense of being recent. For example, you purchase something that is used but new to you, you would use this adjective. The other is kainos, which means brand new in form and quality. Something brand new that has never been in existence or used, and that's the word that's used here. The new heaven and new earth will not be a restoration project, the old one. It will be a brand new one. That brand new form and quality to it apparently will be a round earth because it has the dimensions of north, south, east, and west. We don't know the dimensions of this new place. We may speculate that this will be a much larger earth because of the dimensions of the city in Revelation 21:16 that are massive. So there'll be no curse in the new earth. Everything will be at a perfect temperature. Satan and his demons and all believers, unbelievers in everlasting fire will never see this place. This will be a brand new place specifically designed by God for God's people. Paul had said, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And the old heaven, the old earth will be gone. According to 2 Peter 3:10-13, the old heaven and the old earth will be burned up. The earth and the atmosphere in which we live and breathe, and the heavens where the birds fly and the planets are all, will all be burned up. And the new heaven and the new earth will not have any oceans. Approximately 3/4 of the world today is covered by the salt water of the sea. In the new heaven and new earth, there'll be no more oceans. It doesn't say there will be not any water, it just says there will not be any oceans. So this first created of God in regard to water is Genesis 1:6-10. It appears according to the chronology of creation that God created this water to be a life support for vegetation. One reason why there will be no more sea is because there will be an eternal, constant sustenance of life which comes directly from God. And also oceans divide nations. And in this eternity, no divisions of people will be necessary. All people will live forever in a complete geographical and physical and spiritual harmony. The new heaven and new earth will have a new Jerusalem. New city of Jerusalem will replace that old city of Jerusalem. It's only city specifically named. And the city will be graphically described in these subsequent verses. It'll be new, which means it'll be brand new. Not a city built by men, but it comes down out of heaven from God. It'll be very impressive, and it'll be absolutely beautiful, like a bride adorned for her husband. So it's not only what he sees, but point number two, what he hears. Look at verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So he'll dwell among men. He'll be literally and visibly there. A place of worship, a place of communication with God, place that was to reflect the glory of God. And then it'll be a place of eternal comfort. Look at verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So God will wipe away every tear. This indicates the amazing individual work of God for each person. There'll be nothing there that will ever cause someone to shed tears. The happiest place one would ever live, and one there will live forever. He'll remove everything that could cause tears. No death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. And then we see that the new heaven, new earth will feature fulfillment of the written promises and blessings of God. Look at verse 5 with me. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of living, of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." So the new heaven and new earth will feature God sitting on a throne. Who is that Alpha and Omega? It is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, and he will sit on that throne. And the new heaven and new earth will feature all things new. It's brand new. And it will feature the written word of God. I don't realize how important God's written word is. Scriptures are written for him. The Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. And then it will feature complete fulfillment. God himself will meet every single need of every single person. And it'll feature a sonship relationship with God. This inheritance has nothing to do with the performance in the matter of reward and loss of reward. Every believer will have his sonship relationship with God. And then lastly, for today, the new heaven and new earth will never have any unbelievers. Look at verse 8 with me. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. We'll get a glimpse in these verses why some people would not believe in Jesus Christ. They were too cowardly to believe. They were just too unbelieving and wouldn't believe. They involved in abominable sins and they wouldn't turn to Christ. They're involved in murder. They're involved in immorality. They're involved in sorcery and witchcraft. They were involved in idolatry. And they're all liars. So there are two options where people will be in eternity. Eternal lake of fire, or a new heaven, a new earth, New Jerusalem. Where does that line up for you? It's a very important question to ask today.